Hi everyone, welcome back to Coffee with Craner. This is episode 136. We're making our way to 150. And today I have Tom Mayhew, owner of Tilbury Chrysler and co-owner of Motor City Chrysler. A great person in the automotive sales industry and has owned many dealerships in our area. So we're going to be talking about behind the wheel, how to thrive in the auto business. Tom, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Now, this is my first interview in Tilbury, and it's also my first interview with a automotive dealership owner. So where in Tilbury is your favorite place for coffee?
Well, my go-to coffee when I'm working in Tilbury in the mornings is Tim Hortons.
Okay.
I get my regular medium dark roast coffee with one cream, and that's my go-to. If I'm working in Windsor in the morning, I'll stop at the Tim Hortons on Highway 77 and 401 and grab a coffee there, but Timmy's is my go-to.
And now you're overseeing two dealerships right now.
Yes.
How is that? Are you commuting? Like, are you there in the morning and you're back at Tilbury in the afternoon?
I have a real good general manager at the other store that's running it, the day-to-day operations. So I might stop in there once, twice a week. That's about it.
And how did you find yourself in automotive sales? How did you become an owner? Walk us through that.
Okay, well, that's... That's not a short story, but
Cole's notes.
I'll give you the Cole's notes version of it. Out of school, I was working different little jobs. I went to work at a farm implement dealership in the late 70s, early 80s. And back then, the interest rates were 18, 20%. Things were going really bad in the farm industry. Mm-hmm. So a friend of mine, Vince Lally, he had a corner gas station and was selling Subarus, and the Ford store came available because the Ford dealer in Tilbury had walked away from it during the high interest rates. And so Ford's offered the Lally's the Ford store. And Vince was a close friend of mine. We grew up together and partied together growing up. And he came to me to help him set up a parts department and a service department. So I would go over there and help him with that. And he said, well, why don't you come work for me full time? So things were going bad in the farm industry, so I went and worked for him. A few years later, after working in the parts and service with him, he asked me to come up front to start selling cars. And then about, I guess that was about 83 or 84 when I started there. Mm-hmm. And then in 93, Vince bought another gas station type of dealership in Tilbury here, actually located where the Tim Hortons was. It was called... Provo Plymouth, and he put me in there as the dealer principal to run it and operate it with an opportunity to buy in. He had to build this new facility here, and he built a new Ford store at the same time. So in 94, we moved into this facility. A couple years after that, I started my buy-in. I had no money. I had to come up with some money to put down on the deal to get it started. I remortgaged my home. My wife wasn't too happy about it and everything, but we had some equity in our home.
Yeah.
So remortgaged that and got started with my buy-in. Things were moving right along. I finished my buy-in a little earlier than anticipated. And then I had a lease on this facility with an option to buy. So when that option came available, I bought the facility. So I had even a little bit more equity. And then about... 2013, we have an auto mall association here, and Craig Lanoux crossed the road after one of the auto mall meetings, mentioned to me that he would like to consider buying another dealership and was looking at Pinnacle Chrysler in Windsor. And so I said, well, I know them real well up there. I can look into it for you. I know the operators. Mm-hmm. And so anyways, one thing led to another, and Craig and I ended up buying Pinnacle Chrysler, which we renamed Motor City Chrysler on the corner of Walker and Tecumseh.
Okay.
And so that turned out to be good for us. That was in 2013. Yeah, we still have it. And then a few years later, 2018, we thought we'd want to expand a little bit more. And we bought Dan Kane Chevel next to the Devonshire Mall over there on Provincial. So that worked out real good for us. And then last year, we had an offer to sell it, which was, we weren't really honestly looking to sell it, but it was a good deal for
right
both
time.
Of us. And we're both at the age where we're looking at cutting back and settling down and like to use the word retire, but we're trying to slow down and relax a little bit more.
Yeah.
So we sold it last year in 2023. So today I've still got Tilbury Chrysler, which my daughter is going to take it over eventually. And the owner the general manager at Motor City, he's buying in. So he'll eventually own that operating company.
Fascinating story to see how you climbed.
Yeah.
And now you mentioned a gas station type of dealership. What does that mean exactly?
A gas station type of dealership. Well, Vince Lally, father, Ray and Rita, they had a gas station in Comber. It was a Gulf station. I don't know if they remember the Gulf station, but they were selling used cars there and fixing cars. It was just a gas station. Like, even when I started working for him, I'd pump gas for him.
Okay.
Because we had gas pumps.
So it was a mix of a dealership and a gas station.
And it's the same one he bought in Tilbury here, Provo Plymouth. It was a gas station, too. It was like three bay garage. They had pumps out front, and they sold Plymouth cars.
Do you see that being popular now?
No, that's a thing of the past. Well, gas stations are going to be a thing of the past once everybody gets EV chargers.
Yes. Yeah. How have you seen the industry evolve? You mentioned 18% interest rates on
back in the 80s, it was 18-20%. It was crazy. I hope we never see it again.
Do you see that coming back ever? Because the rates are high right now.
Yeah, rates are high right now, but nothing like it was. It was 10 points higher than what it is today. I don't think we're going to see rates get higher than what they are now. It's they're saying in June they're supposed to come down a bit. So
okay. Yeah. And how have you seen things change in the automotive industry over the past few years? There's obviously a shift to electric vehicles, but more so in business operations.
Well, the shift to EV vehicles, that's a big change. Business operations. With the interest rates climbing from, we had almost, nil interest to what I think the bank rate right now is 5%, mm-hmm. and the prime rate's 7.2. That really affects business a lot. Like, we carry a lot of inventory, 100 pieces of new car inventory would be, $7 million, and we have used inventory of a couple million dollars. So you have to pay interest on that, and it works out to a lot every month. So it just makes it tougher.
And is it more difficult for the sales reps?
Sales reps are, during the COVID years, like 2020, 21, 22, the sales reps did really, really well. There was not a whole lot of production of new vehicles. So the price of used vehicles were way up there, and salespeople did real well. Now it's coming back to reality. The factories are producing vehicles again, mm-hmm. and we've got inventory. It's a struggle out there with interest rates. When somebody has to pay 8.9, 9.9 interest on a used car, it does affect sales a bit. But sales rates, salespeople have to work hard nowadays. They really do.
Yes. And aside from high interest rates and the economy and those challenges, what would you say is a difficult part of running a dealership?
The most difficult part of running a dealership is finding good staff, good help. That's the key to a successful dealership too. Mm-hmm. I've been very fortunate over the years to have some really great staff. A lot of staff have been with me for almost the 30 years, so I'm very fortunate in that respect. But it's really getting tougher and tougher to find good staff. I don't know, maybe the aura of being a salesperson doesn't attract a whole lot of people, but honestly, a good salesperson with thick skin and a lot of motivation can make a lot of money in this industry. They can mm-hmm. kind of like run their own business, and they work hard, and it's more than a 40-hour week, unfortunately.
And what's your strategy to find the right people?
When you find one, you'll know. You might see them in a restaurant or a waiter, and you'll know it when you find the right one. You give them your business card and say, "Hey, if you're ever looking for another job, please call me."
And is that how you found some of your staff at restaurants?
A lot of staff like that. Yeah.
their previous experience in sales.
Or you might see somebody, you know, at a party, or you might have a friend of a friend that you know, and, you know.
But those, do you find those are the best reps that you're hiring in employees?
Yes.
Versus
somebody that's applied for a job.
Yeah.
It seems that way.
Yeah. Okay. That's good to know.
Although there is a lot of good applicants out there, really a lot of good applicants. And like, it amazes me. I look at some of these applications that people want to work here and they're way, way overeducated, you know, and I just wonder why are they getting into the car business, but it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you can see the ability to scale your income business. You can do very, very well.
Yeah.
And now flipping the switch a little bit to being an owner operator of a dealership, how do you differentiate yourself between other local dealers?
Well,
what's the strategy behind that?
Well, in the Chrysler world, you know, we all sell the same product. All the Chrysler dealers sell the same product. So you have to differentiate yourself by the only difference is the people that you have working for you, I believe. You have to, treat the customer with a whole lot of respect. You have to show them complete transparency when you're dealing with them. Customers want to be followed up on. They want to know what's going on with their car when it's in for service. They want to know, you know, hey, I was looking at that vehicle on the lot last week. What's going on? Customers want to be followed up. So we just try to sell ourselves, I guess, and we try to be better than the next door.
Is it less on price? Can every Chrysler dealership have?
We all pay the same price for the cars. You know, they're all the same price when you buy them from the factory. And people tend to think there's a whole lot of markup in cars, and really, there isn't. At the end of the day, like when the price of these vehicles go up $10,000, we don't make any more money on the car. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just reality.
Yeah, no, that's fair because I would imagine see clients where they'll take a used vehicle to go to you, then they'll go to the next dealership and
for appraising their trade, yeah. But nowadays, with the software and the technology that all dealers have, we all use the same software, most of us anyways. Mm-hmm. We know how much that used vehicle will retail on the used car market, and you negotiate your reconditioning cost and your markup down, and that's what the vehicle's worth, and we're usually spot on with it. Everybody's putting the same amount of money into that used car.
It's a fascinating industry.
It is.
What do you love most about it? What gets you up in the morning?
Well, this car industry gets me up in the morning because once it got in my blood after working for the Lallys, it just got in my blood. I just loved it. Getting up and dealing with people and negotiating deals and selling cars and moving forward and advancing. It gets in your blood.
Yes.
And you want to go to work every day.
And for a young sales rep entering the industry, what are some things that they might not expect? Like the hardcore truth of being in this business.
Yeah, I think.
That you tell people.
I think they expect that we make a whole lot of money selling cars. And in reality, is the markup, as I mentioned before, isn't a whole lot. So I think they find kind of get shocked on, you know, what the markup really is in cars. I think they got to expect to work long hours to make a good living in this business. If you just want to come in here and do your 9-to-5 shift every day, you'll get by, but you won't get ahead. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, in this industry, it's just the way it is.
What are the hours like for?
We start sales at 9 a.m. and we run till 7 p.m. And we work Saturdays too. So you got to work Saturdays if you want to be a salespeople. A lot of people don't want to work weekends, so that's a little different too. In service, we open up at 8 and we shut down at 5 days a week.
And for those reps that you have here that are outselling, why do you think those reps are doing so well? What's the number one factor that allows somebody to skyrocket in their business?
Their number one factor would be their personality and people like them.
Yeah.
They have an aura about them that makes people like them, and they just get to know them. They're not high pressure and they're transparent. Like, you know, people come to get a price, they get a price. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't hide anything.
And when you entered this business, looking back and looking at yourself in sales, what do you think you did wrong at the start?
Well, I worked too many hours. I know that. If you ask my wife, I worked too many hours. What did I do wrong? I'm sure I made a lot of mistakes because, you know what, there was a lot of vehicles I should have sold that I never sold. Yeah. And it was probably in follow-up. I didn't do enough follow-up.
The follow-up, okay. Yeah. And is that just picking up the phone and following up with people? How's that?
Yeah, picking up the phone, follow-up with them. Nowadays we have texts. You know, people like to be contacted by text, email. But there's a lot of options now. When I started in sales, it was just a telephone. There wasn't cell phones either when I started. Yeah.
Rotary phones.
Yeah, rotary phones.
What I found really fascinating now is that dealerships, and I imagine you have this as well, is if I go online and I look at a vehicle and I type, you know, I'm interested, I get a call like 2 minutes after.
Yeah, there's a ton of software and technology out there nowadays for that. We know who visits our website, what they're looking at. A lot of the times, you know, if you're on the same platform as like Facebook, for instance, you can almost tell who it is and follow up from that way. Yeah.
Is online marketing big for Tilbury Chrysler and your other
dealerships? It's the only marketing nowadays. Like years ago when we used to advertise in the local media paper, Windsor Star, it would be nothing to spend $10,000, $12,000 a month in the Windsor Star advertising new and used vehicles.
Wow.
And, you know, that's just, unfortunately, that's gone. It's just a sign of the time. Mm-hmm. So it's all online marketing.
But now I bet you can spend less and have a bigger reach.
Yes, you can. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And looking back as a dealership owner, we'll take the sales hat off.
Yeah.
As a dealership owner, what are some key lessons you've learned along the way? And now you mentioned you're not retiring, but you're looking to step back a little bit and relax.
Yeah, I think I am looking to retire. I just don't like that sound of it. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Some key lessons I learned along the way. I wish I'd found a better balance between work and my family life. You know, when I went out and remortgaged my house, my wife and I were both unsure of what the future was. So I worked really hard, and I had a young family at that time, which you know, I love all the kids, and all the kids love me.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's good. And you know, but I wish I'd have spent more time with my family. Now that I have grandchildren, I just love it, and
yes.
I love spending time with my grandchildren and stuff. So.
Some future employees here.
Yeah, that's right. Right? I hope so.
All you need is to bring a young kid on the lot with you, and they will buy.
Yeah, right? That's right.
Yes. No, that's exciting stuff. And for those looking for vehicles, how can they get in touch with Tilbury Chrysler, Motor City?
TilburyChrysler.com, MotorCity.com. You know, we're all over the web. It's easy to contact us through our websites. Or if you look at our websites, we got phone numbers on there. I don't mind anybody calling my cell phone. I give everybody my cell phone number. I don't mind people calling me. You know,
yes.
I enjoy that.
It's good to see. It's good to see when people are buying a vehicle, but they can speak to the head guy and express their concerns if they have any.
More often than not, I've had people tell me, I can't believe you're the owner and you called me. You know, like sometimes, you know, we're not perfect and we'll have a problem in service or something. The customer's upset and they'll email me with their concern. I'll pick up the phone. I'll call them right away. Mm-hmm. Like, customer, oh, my God, I can't believe you're calling me. You know,
yes.
You're the owner? I say, yeah, I'm the owner. Yeah. You know, I want to take care of this problem today. So, thanks for calling me back so soon. People love it when you call them back soon.
That's a big thing. People want to be listened to.
Yeah, they do.
Right?
Yeah.
Even if the problem isn't resolved, the fact that you listen.
Exactly. Exactly. They appreciate it.
It's huge. Yeah. So. Well, I think this was a great conversation.
Yeah.
Those that are looking to own a dealership or become a sales rep, there's some insightful tools that we found here in this interview. So really appreciate your time, Tom.
Yeah.
Those watching, like you mentioned, visit the dealership. If you're looking for, is it new and used?
New and used, yes.
All right. Thanks,
guys. Buy, sale, or lease, yeah.
There we go. Yeah. Be sure to support. Thanks for watching. Visit coffeewithcreator.com for the full interview. See you soon.
Thanks, Lyndon.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Yeah.